Westside Baptist Church in Noonan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Let's get your books and turn to page 120. Page 120. Let's everybody stand and sing Victory in Jesus this morning. All right, let's sing on the first. This morning, say amen.
It's good to be here this morning, is it not? You know, for years I've heard preachers say, I'd rather be in church, or rather be here than the best jail in town. I've never been able to figure that one out, I'll be honest with you. But I'm glad you are here this morning. It's time to take up the tithe and the offering. We're going to ask the ushers if they would come at this time. We're looking forward to next Sunday. Next Sunday we're having our Law Enforcement Appreciation Day, and y'all come and show your appreciation to these men. I believe it's going to be a special day, and I would like everyone to be a part of it if possible.
I'm so glad that I love. How many loves the Lord this morning?
Amen.
I love him. I know we do this a lot, but this is probably one of my favorite songs. How I love you, Lord. How I like that last part, how I lift my voice and worship you. Amen. I love the Lord. Amen. That is so true. How I love you, Lord.
How I love that part that says, where is my king? My king.
Amen.
Amen.
He loves me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
Anybody want to jump up and say, I love the Lord?
Yeah.
Amen. I love the
Lord.
Amen.
I love the Lord.
Amen.
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 His holy name.
We're talking about how much we love.
Have your Bibles, turn to the book of Titus. Titus, that's right after 2 Timothy. For you Bible scholars out there, I tell you, it is always good to come to the house of the Lord. And it may be a little work. My goodness, you got to get up in the morning and get dressed, and I don't know what it is about Sunday mornings, but the Sunday morning sleep is always the best, isn't it? And you got to kick yourself out of bed, and I think God honors that sacrifice, I do. But I was praying about how to unfold the topic I've been telling you I'm going to preach on this morning. Last week we dealt with goals for the future of the church over the next 2 to 5 years, and I really threw a lot at you. And just for information's sake, you know, it is going to take 2 to 5 years to get a lot of that stuff done, but I think we need goals. We'll be taking little baby steps in those directions, and I think we should, but I didn't want to freak everybody out. Where in the world are we going to get the money? Well, my goodness gracious, we serve a father, and he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So I'm not worried about that. As God's timing unfolds, the finances will avail themselves. I'm convinced of that. So we don't need to worry. Don't need to get all uptight, because we're looking into the future. Now, in the book of Titus, I'm going to read one verse, and then I want to talk to you for a few moments on this thing of leadership. But the title of my message, I want to share with you in just a minute. I want to share with you some of these things because, number one, you may already be a leader at Westside Baptist Church. Secondly, you may be asked to serve in some capacity in the future. And then thirdly, fourthly, and fifthly, if you really read the Word of God, you'll find that everything that the Bible expects of its leaders, he expects of all his children. It's really a no-brainer. And so this is not just a message to the leaders this morning. It's not just a message to those that may become leaders in the future. But it is for each and every Christian that's sitting here this morning. I was doing a little reading, and I found this story about Count Nicholas Zinzendorf. Now, I'm going to use this man as a quick illustration. I want to say this. I'm not suggesting that I agree with everything that this man says theologically or said doctrinally. He's dead, been dead for a long time. But nevertheless, I'm going to use him to illustrate something, but not because I approve of everything that he taught. But there was something that he did do, and he did well, and that is that he helped a lot of people escape the persecution of the Catholic Church. He owned a lot of land, and so what he eventually did, he opened that land up and allowed people to come and move and put a home there, those that were fleeing and going to Germany or that region to escape the persecution of Roman Catholicism. And so he did a lot of great things in that area, but he also took a lot of risk in doing so. But what I found about him is that whether you agree with him or didn't disagree with him, he had a lot of spiritual fervor, so to speak. He had a lot of zeal, even though he was a well-to-do and you could say a great businessman, per se. He had a lot of zeal for the Lord. And he actually equated some of his zeal to a picture that he had there in his home. And this picture was a picture of the crucifixion of Christ. And there our Lord in this picture was hanging on Calvary's tree, beat up, and battered, and bloodied, and our Father being marred like no other man. He was a mess as he hung on the cross. And this picture pretty accurately displayed the train wreck, the physical train wreck that our Lord and Savior was in as he hung on the cross. But the caption at the bottom of this picture, an inscription, said this: "All this for thee. All this for thee. I was beaten up for thee. I was bruised for thee. I was pierced and my side and my hands and my feet for thee, the inscription was saying in essence. So it said, all this for thee. But the second part of the inscription said this, how much for me? All this for thee, how much for me? So the title of my message is, how much for me? The Lord, if I may say this morning, may be asking you, how much for me? What are you being, what are you willing to do? How much are you willing to do for me? What are you willing to be labeled for me? Just tell me how much for me. I did all this for you. I picked up your rotten soul, dusted it off and made it anew, and saved it from a devil's hell. I did all that for you, but how much are you willing to do for me? Paul in Titus chapter 1 and verse 1 said this, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul, a servant of whom? God. And may I say this, that word meaning a bond slave. Can we say, do we do enough for the cause of Christ? Do we do enough for the Lord in our Christian walk that we consider ourselves a bond slave of the Lord? Now, I'm going to preach in a few minutes. You just bear with me. I'm just going to lay a little groundwork here. As all this for thee, how much for me? If you would, just keep that question in mind, how much for me? Could it, or do we, do enough for the Lord that as Paul said, I'm a bond slave, I'm a servant of God, can we really examine our lives and say, yes, we are also a servant of the Lord? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What good works is this? This word ordain, it means to prepare before or to make ready beforehand. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me out. God has prepared you before. He has you ready to serve in some capacity. He is our God, and we should be able to look at our lives and say, yes, I am his bond slave. Yes, I am his servant. Too many times we think about great things we can do for God, and we mull those things over in our mind. But the fact of the matter is, that is not getting anything accomplished for the cause of Christ. We can plan, and plan some more. We can kick it around and mull it over. We can write it down. We can lay out a blueprint. But ladies and gentlemen, if we do not literally become a bondservant, a servant of the Lord, what good are we concerning the kingdom of God? We're not just saved to be put on a shelf and collect dust. So God has prepared us before, or ordained us unto good works. All right, here we go. You ready? A godly leader is marked by some things. A godly leader is marked by a servant's attitude. Galatians 1:10 says this, For do I now persuade men of God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. When it's our objective to please those around us, now I'm not suggesting that it becomes our objective to make everybody around us angry. I don't think we should be stuck on stupid. But when it becomes our objective to make men happy with us and please them based on what we do and say and so forth and so on, it disqualifies us to be his servant. Dads, moms, hang on. I don't believe any of us in this room have perfect children. And I don't believe any of us here are perfect parents. Just thinking, okay? Just thinking out loud. But it's not our jobs to please our children. It is our job to raise them up in the way they should go. Amen? I'm not interested in pleasing them. Oh, I don't mind doing things for our children. My goodness gracious. It's a joy when you do something for your kids and they appreciate it, is it not? One of the reasons I've always enjoyed doing things for Rachel is because she appreciates it. She gets all excited, and I mean, she appreciates it. It's not just the excitement of the moment, but she recognizes it and she appreciates it. I appreciate that about her appreciating those things that I give her. Okay, but my objective is not to please her. Now she's 25 years old and now married, so that's long gone. But we need, yes, just getting started. You're right, sister. What am I thinking? What am I saying? But I got to tell you, my objective is not to please anybody. You see, what's being told us here in this precious book of Ephesians is really our goal should be to please the Lord. Yeah, but my little Billy, he wants X, Y, and Z. And little Sally, well, she wants A, B, and C. Well, why don't you just ask God if that would please him? And if it will please God, and it would please you, and it would please the child, then maybe you got something going right there and there. Amen. I love cell phones. Amen. That's okay, brother. Don't you worry about it. You're not the first, and I promise you, you won't be the last. But I tell you, we must have a servant's attitude. Our attitude should be one to please Christ and not men. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 says, "But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? First and foremost, we're being told here to emphasize our efforts, to focus our efforts on pleasing God and not pleasing men. But Christians, hear me out. When God is allowing you to serve in some capacity, the first part of this verse says, "But as we were allowed of God." We are allowed. God gives us the opportunity to serve and to do. And many times we grunt, groan, and complain and whine and become unfaithful to that thing which God has told us to do or given us an opportunity to do. He allows it. It's not that you are owed it or that I am owed it. It is something that is that we're allowed to do. You're allowed to do certain things as children. Some things you're not allowed to do. And as you grow and you're allowed to do more and more and more, you go, man, I like this. You know, when you're allowed to drive your car for the first time as a teenager, you go, man, I like that. Well, that's the same way it is with this thing of leadership. God allows it. He prepares us for it. And there's not one person in this room that is beyond or beneath serving the Lord in some capacity. Now, I got to hurry on because I need to talk to you about this thing. A godly leader is not focused on pleasing men, but he is always focused on pleasing God. Colossians 1:7 says this, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. This man was known as a faithful minister, a godly leader. Listen to me. Listen to me. If you want to be known as a godly leader, you got to be faithful. Now, when I say faithful, everybody thinks, well, we're talking about church attendance. Well, we're really not. I'm talking about being faithful. You see, if we're faithful, church attendance takes care of itself. I don't have to get on to that. I'm talking about when you get your eyes off what's going on in your career and you get your eyes on what's going on with God and what He wants to do with you, then we're talking. Then things are about to start happening for you. Then you are understanding this thing of faithfulness. Yes, we can talk about church attendance if you want to, but I'm talking about something deeper than church attendance. Yes, if we want to be faithful, yes, if we want to be of leadership quality, we can't come to church one time a week. Let me ask you this. Can I ask you this, since we're on the subject? If you didn't show up to your job, just 10%, 90% of the time you showed up, how long would you have that position? I love you. But if you come once a week and you're in leadership, think about this. Then you get sick. Everybody gets sick now and then, am I right? Okay, so now you no longer come once a week on Sunday. Then, oh, nothing wrong with taking a couple weeks of your vacation, is there? Then you're on vacation. All of a sudden, you're no longer even in God's house 30% of the time that it is open. And you listen to me, if you want to be a leader at Westside, you got to walk the walk. We got a lot of talking, but we need some walking. Man, I tell you, I love sitting down and talking, Brother Dave, with members of Westside Baptist Church. You have so many great thoughts and ideas and suggestions, and I love it. And I mean to tell you, I love you and I love it. I love sitting down and talking with you. But talk only goes so far. All the great ideas only go so far. I think I may have told you a story. Years ago, I was serving at Trinity Baptist Church, and there was a fella, and man, he always had something new that we should be doing. Always. And so I came into the church, and he was sitting about three or four rows from the back, and as I walked by, he grabbed me by the arm. And I said, what can I do for you? And this guy, he's dead now. He's in heaven, I hope. I hope he's in heaven. And he grabbed me by the arm. He said, we need to do such and such. And he had done this 100 times, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm a nice guy. If you don't believe me, you ask me, I'll tell you I'm nice. But I said, brother, I agree with you. I'll let Pastor Norris know you're in charge of getting it done. Now, this is a man that came to me constantly. But never, ever, the next 4 years that I ministered there, not one time did he ever come to me and say, could we do such and such? I tell you, I am all for good suggestions and comments. But ladies and gentlemen, Westside Baptist Church does not roll along based on suggestions alone. It takes grunt work and back work and sweat and tears and prayer and study and focus and commitment and sacrifice to make it all happen. Amen. Now listen, folks. I love you. But the Lord is just saying to you this morning, I did all this for you. How much for me? How much for me are you willing to do? We also find the same principle over in Colossians chapter 4. Don't worry about turning there. Over in verse 7, where another minister is counted faithful. Can I ask you this, please? And understand that I am saying these things out of love for you and concern for the church as a whole. But I want to ask you the question, if an outside party within the church were to be 100% honest with you, would they say, so-and-so, he's faithful. So-and-so, oh, she's faithful. Ladies and gentlemen, this thing of faithfulness goes beyond attendance of church. The attendance of our church is really just a residue or the result of what is going on in our hearts. In Acts chapter 16, we find the account of the soothsayer. And she's following Paul and Silas around, and she's saying this, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And the Bible says she did this for many days. I believe personally she was mocking them. But Paul got tired of it. And he eventually spun around and demanded that the demon come out of her. And he did it in the name of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, we can do nothing outside of Jesus. We can label ourselves one way or the other. We can have different roles in leadership. But we can't get anything accomplished at Westside Baptist Church or in any avenue of our personal life outside of Jesus Christ. He is our power. He is what gets things done. He blesses or he closes the doors of blessings. It's all up to him. And old Paul said, I'm tired of this, and whipped the devil right out of her in the name of Jesus. Boy, it made those people angry. They arrested Paul and Silas and threw them in the Philippian jail, which led them to leading the Philippian jailer to the Lord. But this was what I was thinking when I was reading this. Just a few minutes ago, I asked a question. Two questions, really. Do you consider yourself, based on your actions, a servant of God? Then I mentioned, just a few minutes ago, what would others say, based on your service, based on your faithfulness, my faithfulness, what would they call us? Would they say, yes, we're a bond slave. Yes, we're a group. Yes, we're faithful, whatever. But here, it goes another step further. Here, Paul and Silas are out preaching the word, and this demon and this woman is calling them a man of God. That they're preaching the gospel. What are the God haters saying about you? What are those that want nothing to do with God saying about us? Do they look at us and say, well, I don't like God. Matter of fact, I don't believe in God. I hate church. They're all a bunch of hypocrites. But that guy, they're all a bunch of hypocrites. But that woman, I tell you, your friends might not always be 100% honest with you. Your family might not always be 100% honest with you. But you get somebody that hates your guts, and they'll find the worst about you and drag it all out. So when you have somebody that hates you for what you do for the Lord, and that's what was going on here with Paul and Silas, but yet still had to make compliments of their service for the Lord. So the third question is, what are your worst enemies saying about you? And in spite of all of our flaws, could it be that even the imps of hell themselves would have to drop their hands and go, well, they're God's servant. Well, they're faithful. Well, they're doing what they're supposed to do. Is it possible? Matter of fact, I'm going to skip. Isn't that a good question? Aren't you glad I asked it? A godly leader's transparent is in their integrity. I was reading and I found a story from the 1940s about Will Hutton. He was the president of the Moody Bible Institute. It was an agnostic man that was suicidal. He decided that if he could find a minister who actually lived the faith, that he would listen to that minister. So this agnostic, suicidal agnostic, hired a private detective to watch Preacher Hutton. And he followed him for a long time. And eventually the investigator came back to this agnostic and gave him good report and said, there's nothing about this man. I've followed him and he does what he's supposed to do. He's where he's supposed to be. He is the real thing. He's authentic. That agnostic attended Dr. Houghton's church and was saved. And this is how God works. Later on, that suicidal agnostic had a daughter that grew up and went to Moody Bible Institute, went to college. Because of this preacher, this man of God, was transparent in his integrity. What people saw, they knew that he was the real McCoy. Ladies and gentlemen, whether they are friends and are afraid to say, whether they're a family and they won't say, whether they are your enemies, can they say, now that's a true man of God. That is a true leader. She is what she says she is. He is what they appear to be. Can we say that about ourselves at Westside Baptist Church? A godly leader is marked by godly character. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe with all my heart that godly character is mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Here it is. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, which means mildness, temperance, meaning self-control. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe with all my heart this is the godly character that needs to be exhibited by the leadership at Westside Baptist Church. It needs to be exhibited by everyone. But I personally believe that if we do not exhibit these things, that maybe we are not qualified to be in a leadership role. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Do you love each other like you should, church? Do you love each other like you should? Do you weep when the brother or sister next to you weeps? When they're going through a difficult time, do you love them enough to feel what they're going through? I'm saying to you that this is, I believe, a biblical quality, of the character that we need is found here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Joy. Do we have the joy of our salvation? Ladies and gentlemen, even when we're going through the darkest times of our lives, there is a seed of joy that we can partake of. I'm talking to Christians that are going through difficult times right now, some dark times right now. Some of you battle with horrible depression and issues, and sometimes it is difficult to feel that joy. But when you believe it can't get any darker, there's just a little glimmer of joy that comes from deep within your soul, and it pushes you up out of the bed. It gets you dressed in the morning. It gets you to church on Sunday. It does what it should do. I'm saying, do you have that joy? The peace that passeth all understanding. The long-suffering, ladies and gentlemen, long suffering. Do we understand where we're going with long suffering? It means when you're sitting there and you just wish I would shut up, be long suffering. Give me an extra minute or two. Be long suffering. That person says something hurts your feelings. Be long suffering. I guess the question could be, is the Lord is saying, how much for me? I know you got your feelings hurt, but how much for me? I know you're not very happy right now, but how much for me? I know you don't feel like praying for so-and-so, but how much for me? I know you don't feel like getting up on Sunday morning and being true to the house of God, but how much for me? I know you're scared to witness to that man. I know you're scared to tell that girl or that lady about God, but how much for me? I know you're going to have to sacrifice. If you take on that leadership role at Westside Baptist Church, it's going to take some of your time, but how much for me? I know it's going to take a lot of effort, but how much for me? How much for me? I believe it's a question that we should ask ourselves. How much are we willing to do for the Lord? But maybe we should just move it to a different level and say, how little are we willing to do for the Lord? It's just a question, folks. Don't look at me like that. How much for me? My message isn't over with, but I think it is. How much for me? Our leaders are the backbone of Westside Baptist Church. Did you hear that? Our leaders are the backbone of Westside Baptist Church. But that doesn't mean there's not room for improvement. Brother Joe, I try every day. I reflect at the end of the day and say, okay, what did I do? How could I do it better tomorrow? I'm not saying I do it any better the next day, but Lord knows I try. But when we realize that we're the backbone of the church and not the tip of the pinky, maybe we'll take our ministries a little more seriously. And by the way, I'm not against pinkies. Amen. I intend to keep mine. Every body part is very crucial to me. And let me say this, according to the Word of God, it is to the Lord too. I mean, the Bible talks about, okay, if everybody's an ear, who's going to see? If everyone is an eye, then who's going to hear? So we all have our different qualities that God wants to put to work into the body of Christ. But the Lord, I believe, is asking this question: how much for me? Are you willing to shave a little time out of your personal and put over here for Him? It may even cost you a little bit financially. But I want to promise you this: everything you put into God's work, you'll get it back a hundredfold. God will bless you. He will take care of you. There was a song that came to my mind the other day. I don't even know if I can remember the chorus of it. But it says this, and I hope I can remember it. It says, I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. I could never, never outlove the Lord. Could that not be our song at Westside Baptist Church? I want to give so there's no more to give. I want to love so there's no more to love. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a job to do. I know this isn't a chandelier swinging message, and hey, but let me tell you something. If we can get our hearts on track this morning, we can have some chandelier swinging messages. Matter of fact, you get your heart right, you get it in gear, you be where you're supposed to be, the preacher won't have to pump it up. The choir won't have to pump it up, will they, Brother Dave? The specials won't have to pump you up. You'll come in with a zeal and a peace that passes all understanding, and just the little things of crank your clock. That's right. I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. I could never, never outlove the Lord. The question is, how much for me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. What are we willing to do for the Lord? Our leaders. Maybe you want to say, I want to recommit. Maybe you're here, I really don't have any position in the church. I really don't really even want, but I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do. I not only am I willing to do what God wants me to do, but I'm satisfied doing what I'm doing, but I just want to be willing. I want God to lead me and guide me and do with me as He will. Everybody, let's stand. Let's sing. You know, this is not rocket science. Leaders, are we willing to commit? Westside Baptist Church, are we willing to commit? Are we willing to sacrifice our time, our energies, maybe a little bit of finances for the Lord? We're going to sing, and you just do what you feel like the Lord would have you to do. Brother Weep, sing.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. Surrender.
of our obedience.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures
all
forsaken, take me Jesus, take me
tonight. I believe unless the Lord changes directions, I think we'll continue to look just for a few moments at some of David's mighty men and the definitions of their names and how that really applies to us. And I've enjoyed it, and I hope you've enjoyed the preaching on that. But until the Lord tells me to stop, we'll just keep on with that. But like I said, I enjoyed it, and I hope you will and have.
We were marching to the glory.